scenario. When I saw you turn away, I would have had the nerve to say, hypothetical scenario. When I saw you turn away, I would have had the nerve to say,
Mood Ring Circus, what did we make of that? Kelly Duncan, join up.
I truly loved it. I think it was written by someone who said goodbye to somebody and was really sorry about it. But it's a song you listen to while you're driving in the car and roll down the window and let the breeze in. And I really liked it. I truly liked that.
Well,
and, you know, I'm someone who used to do Raider Record on American Bandstand back in the day.
That's why she is the
Did
awesome
you know that?
KDJ. American Bandstand, the equivalent to the British Top of the Pops back in the day, etc.
I watched several of those episodes. It's so embarrassing.
Well, I'm sure
yes,
that...
I don't talk much about those days, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure RW...
Every weekend, I'd go to Hollywood and do Dick Clark's.
There we are. Yeah.
American Bandstand.
And was this before or after you became Miss Coca-Cola or Miss Drink That Makes You Burp? excellent stuff there. We'll be talking to Justin Larkin. He's actually on Central Time, so actually when we go to Justin in a few minutes, it'd be 50 minutes past midday. And it's different time zones, you see. Kelly's on Pacific Time.
Yeah, how are you keeping track of this? Have you got like several clocks underneath the table?
It's all part of the realistic nature of life and keeping us addressed in that volume. And then after Justin in Central Time, we'll be back to Pacific Standard Time with Phil Leonis as well. It's all...
But if anyone could do it, it would be Alex.
Oh, Kelly. It's just, ask David Tennant what it's like being a time coordinator. It's timey-wimey stuff and all manner of bits and pieces.
Will.
So many wonderful things we could actually sort of work into, so many things we need to work into from that point of view, but I will put those last two questions to you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today, Kelly Duncan Joyner?
It will be the highlight of my week. How's that?
Whoa.
Alex is honoured. Exactly. He's speechless.
168 hours and the last 20 minutes. And it's been
I adore Alex.
Well, it's been the highlight of our week, Kelly, as well. So, and much like yourself, actually, Richard, Kelly actually made her debut telephonically in our other northeastern studio in Teesside. And it was on a 6 o'clock Friday afternoon time slot when we first featured her from that basis. Yeah.
Wow.
Lots
How
of
many years ago now?
Oh, it was last century. That's all I shall say. It was the last century of it. Never mind.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Duncan Joyner is over a decade. That is ridiculous. You know, I mean, that's just...
He's 10 years old.
Exactly.
My baby. My little tiny baby. Yeah.
Amazing.
Ten.
Anyway.
It's hard to believe. Yeah.
Never mind. Life continues. That's the important thing.
Yes, it does.
So, moving on. Will you be back with us in the very near future, Kelly?
Only if they'll have me.
Oh, Shaley, I think it's essential.
Always,
really,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We shall
all you got to do is call.
We shall book you in May. That's the whole thing. That's the, so keep on going. Positive vibes going out to the whole Duncan John F. household. Kelly, keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
We will move on with little blasts of Donna Summer.
All right. Okay.
From the midweek drive at front, even McDonald's still thriving and surviving on the east coast of the country. We'll be joining us next week, all being well, signal notwithstanding, here on the midweek drive. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock, if you happen to be paying attention to time slots and various other factors. And in the studio we have Shaley McKenzie and Richard Bellis. And Richard will be talking about battle reenactments and a number of other key things and interesting elements that he'll be getting into. Probably more with Phil Leonis, because it's time now to really hand over the next 20 minutes or so, all being well, to Mood Ring Circus. I didn't actually ask you, Shaley, what did you make of Hello?
I thought it was awesome. Really sort of Mumford and Sons, really easy to listen to, like Kelly was saying, and I'm proper into like folky kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're saving the release of their latest single, Trophy Scars, but it means you've got a choice between Rainy Day and Zeros and Ones. Where do you want to go?
I'm interested in Zeros and Ones.
Zeros and Ones, kind of binary opposition routine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
With the Turing test to the fore. zeros and ones, Mood Ring Circus. Shaylee, what did you make of the second Mood Ring Circus that we've just listened to?
See, now I get a completely different vibe, and it's sort of like a soft rock Aerosmith kind of vibe, which both appreciate, love Mumford & Sons, and I love Aerosmith. I'm really interested to know where they get all their inspiration for the names.
Well, Richard Bellis, what did you make of the two tracks you've heard so far?
Well, I liked the guitar solo on the zeros and ones. I'm always on for a good guitar solo. And well, I agree with Kelly Duncan Joyner on the original song that we heard about it.
Hello.
A good one for a car journey.
You're going from Central Time, you've got to go to New York, you've got to go to Los Angeles, you've got to get that car journey sorted through. You've got RW Saunders trying to upload the whole thing. It's going to take over 5 hours. RW, what about your speed? It's ridiculous. Great album. Well worth waiting 5 hours for. But really, I would check out your internet speeds. Enough of such stuff. 5 hours. It's ridiculous. Justin Larkin from Mood Ring Circus. Welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys?
Very well indeed, and delighted to have heard not one, but two Ace Mood Ring Circus tracks, and we haven't even featured the single as yet, which is coming up in a few moments. Talk to us a bit about the band, because Shaylee's been busily looking at social media and checking out a few sort of key things.
I have not, Alex. How dare you? No, I have. I've liked their page, officially.
Nice.
It's
worth the interview for that alone, let's face it, Justin.
Let's just leave it there.
Exactly. But share with us, Justin, how did the band come? Because you're a relatively new band, and I know that RW has been particularly keen to say this is probably one of the best young bands he's actually heard ever, almost.
Oh, wow. That's lofty. Thank you. Well, we started a while ago. We started probably about 4 years ago. Me and the bass player were in a band. We've been playing music for about 10 years together, and we used to play in a metal band, of all things. And then I, like, moved to a different town and traveled all over, like, the southeast part of America for a little while and ended up coming back to Springfield, Missouri, where we're out of. And we just started jamming, and I had a couple shows booked, and I was like, hey, do you guys just want to come and jam along? And it kind of slowly evolved into a band, and then we adopted a name after a while and just kept at it. And it took a while before we had the ability to record a record, and the fact that we're about to release it is just crazy to me. It seems like we've been working on this for our whole lives.
Well, I noticed, Shaylee, you've already liked the photograph.
You're embarrassing me in front of Justin.
It's very good. You know, it's Friday the 13th. Without any further ado, we're releasing our debut album, Limbo Days. Yes, a matter of 48 hours. Central Time, before Limbo Days actually emerges into the magical world of the universe and so on. Kelly was saying she has mood rings. Why do you use the name Mood Ring Circus? So how did that originate? Was it a case of just thought, well, what the hey, the Beatles has already taken?
Well, honestly, I was driving down the road and I saw a billboard for the circus that was coming to town, and that was fresh in my head. And then I just kind of put words together, honestly. And I just liked the way that all three of those words flew together. And then when I talked to the band about it, it kind of made sense to us because all of our songs are kind of different colors. We try not to write the same song twice. And, you know, we're all a bunch of moody people as well. So there's a lot of, it's kind of like, I guess the best way to describe it is we're trying to write a song that represents every color on the emotional palette. See, there's some songs that are kind of angry. There's some songs that are more kind of chill, like road trip music, kind of wistful. And I think it's just kind of an ambiguous representation of what we're going for more than anything.
Talk to us about the band. Who else, apart from your good self, Justin, is actually making up Mood Ring Circus?
We've got Alexander Hines is our bass player, and he's a guy that I've been playing with for about 10 years. And we have Seth Randolph playing drums, and he's the newest member. He's been with us for a little over 2 years now. And Stephen Sparks is the lead guitar player. And even back in the day, we were playing in shows together in different bands before we end up being in the same band together. And
now we are going to just have a little exercise in the studio, which I mean, Shirley may already have actually sort of identified this. So let's see if we can actually put names to faces. Okay, this is the line
like
we're looking for,
game.
And we're looking at the band that's actually there. Then Shirley, you've already got somebody.
Yeah, tall guy, glasses, gorgeous long hair, Alex Hines.
Oh yeah, that's Alex Hines.
So you've already
that was a pure guess.
We are. Alex Hines has been identified, which means you've
got the lion's mane.
Okay. Oh, he's got gorgeous hair.
So next one, who would you like to go for? Would you like to go for Justin next?
I feel like Richard should take this one.
Richard, who do you think, given that we've identified Alex Hines there? Which one of these three folk? I mean, you could have the man who's wearing the goat T-shirt with the interesting message.
Oh, that is a goat.
It is a goat, exactly. You could have the T-shirt with the interesting, animals. Or indeed, you could have the sort of the waist jacketed scenario. Where do
That's
you think?
Justin. I think Justin is the one with the...
I think Justin would wear a waist
jacket.
Like
soul patch.
So Richard Bellis is saying you would probably wear a waistcoat and jacket. Is that right, Justin?
Guilty as charged.
Oh, yes.
Justin Larkin.
Called was it soul patch? Yeah.
Dig it. Love a good soul patch, my friend.
So that just leaves us two others. Who do we sort out in terms of the last two members of the band?
This is the pressure now. Mm.
We'll hold fire on that and hopefully sort of reveal all in a matter of seconds after we've released the latest single, which is coming out in a few moments. In fact, Justin, I'd love you to introduce this. This is Trophy Scars. Would you like to introduce it for our radio listener here on Siren Radio?
Yes. This is the new Mood Ring Circus single, Trophy Scars. It's about, I kind of wrote it about a lot of different things. I had a real bad skateboard wreck, so I kind of wrote about that and sort of just getting back up again and just persevering through the hardships of life, I guess.
Shade of the hollowed oak tree. Wet cigarettes, coffee stains, and skin knees. Blood on the pavement, but the wheel is still rolling. Hail to the glory when you can't control it. And you saddle up the way. You couldn't see it coming, but then it hit you and you hit the ground running. Caught in between the hurt and healing, you ask yourself if it's a scab worth peeling. It's just another trophy scar. Brother, and shake that pain off.
at the bottom when you tried to stop it before you hit the ground. Before you hit the ground, get up and turn.
Excellent. Absolutely. What did you make of that, Shaylee?
No, really enjoyed it, especially the drums.
Yes, thumbs up. And Richard?
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. An excellent all-round thing, even though... Well, exactly. Have a word with R.W. Bosig. He doesn't need to spend 7 hours downloading a thing. There are quicker internet speeds, OK? Bless him. It just shows the commitment to the cause. And, of course, it's worth waiting for when you've got that kind of quality at the end of the scrutiny. Shaylee, you've got a theory in terms of identifying the final two members of the band.
Right, so this is the theory, and it is that Seth Randolph, the drummer, is the fella with the short hair and glasses.
On the grounds of?
On the grounds of, the guy next to him is way too tall to be a drummer. I used to be a roadie back in my younger days, and I can remember setting up drums for people, and they were never tall. So that's my theory.
Drummers increase things slightly smaller.
And the other guy looks more like a guitarist, I have to admit. Mm.
So on that basis, you're saying that the drummer is, or the people that we've identified on the Facebook page for Mood Ring Circus are from left to right.
Hang on, here we go.
It's going to be good. I think we're pretty
left
much...
Left to right as in this way?
As in that way, exactly.
Okay, so first guy is... Stephen Sparks, which is a great name, by the way. Very show business.
Is it his real name? Do we not ask?
It is his real name. We all call him Sparkles.
Literally just said that. And then, so the guy next to Sparkles is Seth Randolph. And then the guy next to Seth Randolph is obviously yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the final guy is Alexander Hines.
Is that the photo where... The guy on the far left is wearing a horny goat.
It is indeed.
Yes, it is, exactly.
Horny as in horns,
okay, so
by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, so that guy is Alex. That's the bass player, the guy wearing the horny goat shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what we said.
I did get confused.
Exactly. Sometimes dealing with right and left in America compared with Britain, we both drive on the same side of the road. Actually, we don't.
Got it.
We? No, we don't. Of course we don't. Yeah, could be a nightmare when you actually start touring in Britain, Justin, is all I can say. You remember driving on the other side. And then when you go off to Europe, it's changed again. It's just a road trip. It's best to have a sort of a line for that. How can people get hold of Mood Ring Circus? Is it best to go through social media networks from that point of view? Obviously, it's an international approach from that point of view. How can people book Mood Ring Circus to, say, leave Springfield, Missouri, and actually make your way to Lincoln, England?
I would love to sail across the pond and play some shows. We have a Facebook page, just Mood Ring Circus. We've got a website that we're working on right now, just moodringcircus.com. We also have an Instagram, which is just Mood Ring Circus. For booking, like, our email address is moodringcircus@gmail.com. And, we're trying to get out of Springfield as much as we love this town, because it is kind of it's crazy how much talent is in Springfield, Missouri, of all places.
You've got Mr. Burns. You've got Apu. You've got also... Sorry, I couldn't resist it. So, dope!
Yeah, I was... literally just watching The Simpsons, like, when I woke up this morning. It's funny you mentioned that.
Well, and, of course, there are lots of Springfields in the States as well. It's not necessarily the home of the family and so on, but still, never mind. I'm sure the career will be equally as wonderful. It's been fantastic connecting with you, good self, today, Justin. Hopefully the rest of the band can join us as well in the near future. Have you enjoyed your debut on the Midweek Drive? Has it been good for you?
I'm very thankful to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Round of applause for Mood Ring Circus. Yes. So I take it then we can look forward to featuring you again in the very near future?
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime.
This is great. Justin Larkin, Mood Ring Circus. They'll return.
All right.
actually a 1980s track which didn't make Ready Player One. And yes, Shaley, I will admit to earlier, well, last week actually, with Richard Fitzwilliams, I said quite categorically, he's filled in, he's going to hate it. He's going to hate Ready Player One. It's just.
Are you ready to eat your hat?
He does like it, apparently. He worked through the whole process. So what do I know? I mean, I know as much as Phil Linus when he effectively sort of refers to yourself, Shaley McKenzie, giving him details about why Star Wars mythology works through that. Does he name check you with Dean Hagland? No, you referred to as one assistant on the show, Alex's show.
Not an assistant. Dear Lord, not an assistant. I said a co-presenter on the Midweek Drive. And... gee, do you think it could have anything to do with you shaming me on the air about my pronunciation of Shaley McKenzie?
No.
It's fine. Like,
I have people lined up around the block shaming me about things I say on my podcast. I don't need one more.
Not from your friend.
You know, I am in the middle of a whole bunch of things, and I even asked just now Lily Holloman. I said, Lily, do you want to do my morning slot here on the Midweek Drive? And she said,
no.
And she said, okay. She said, okay. And I laughed and said, that's not actually an answer, because the question was, do you want to?
Yes.
Okay is not an answer.
Not passionate.
Do you want to?
It doesn't have that passion in it.
And she said, yeah, and she said, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right, but the question on the table is, do you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And when I rephrased the question, she promptly has disappeared into another room and closed the door.
It's okay.
So...
She clearly heard earlier in the production Richard Bellis saying, I wonder if Phil will remember me when he actually claims to like my Lego movies that I'd actually put in stop motion when we actually were connected in a different studio from a different town called Middlesbrough back in a different month of the year, August last year, 2017. Yes, Richard Bellis is in the Siren Studios, one of those rare people, Phil, who's been in the studios in the Northeast and indeed in Lincoln.
I can barely remember the question because it took you so long to say it, but I do remember the Lego movies quite clearly, yes. And I'm not offended at all that Richard thinks that I'm at the age where I have no short-term memory. But I loved those movies. Those were really good. Those are, quite honestly, better than the most recent big-budget Lego feature films.
And shameless plug, it is Dwarven Lego what you need to actually go for. Now, is that also on Facebook as well, or have you decided?
No,
you've avoided that because
I haven't expanded into the social media.
So it's the YouTube channel, and it's Dwarven Lego on YouTube. I mean, Shaley, you've seen the trailer. Has that moved you to actually say, yeah, I'm going to check out some Dwarven Lego?
Yeah, it actually looks wicked, and I think I was doing a few little sound effects there, which I think you should think about introducing.
Do you know,
Richard?
I think that's there. We'll pull that sort of stuff, and then of course with Phil engaging in this production meeting from downtown Los Angeles, the heart of historic Hollywood, where he's also coming to terms with the fact that Detroit, which is the place that Dean Hagland is actually moving to because he loves the cold weather. I'm kidding. Listen to the podcast. You'll find out the real reason that Dean Hagland is leaving
Australia. Is it something to do
Australia.
With the truth is out there?
No. I think it's partner and work and new job.
It's not a good enough reason.
I could be wrong, but I might have just deconstructed incorrectly the whole notion of Dwarven Lego, etc. Anyway, Phil's there. He's got right of reply. He can easily sort of burn up with the whole notion of things from that point of view. Because I could ask the question, has he listened to any of the show? Of course not. He's too busy. He's got the Breakfast Club. He's got all sorts of those days where he can actually give us director's notes.
Alex, he's planning a wedding now.
This is true.
You know, my favorite part of the show was when you were talking about Dean's move to Detroit. Remember that?
I actually gave some of my best bits for that particular moment. Anyway, would you like to give some sound effects, please, Shaley, for this wonderful little trailer, Dwarven Lego, the channel trailer?
More to come.
Yeah, that's a Foley artist.
Wow, I want a soundboard. Yeah. I want a soundboard of that for my own show.
I'll do a clip for you, Phil, and send it over when we finally get the Shaley McKenzie ident and jingle put together.
And
Would you like to give us another take, please, Shaley?
Oh, this is like I'm a performing monkey.
pick, pick.
Marvelous. Yeah. Very nice. And by the way, you can expect Performing Monkey to be how I refer to you on my podcast next
week. Hey, at least I've got a name now.
Exactly. It's wonderful. Richard,
mm-hmm.
you were sharing with us the fact that this weekend you're taking part in a battle reenactment series. Now, I'm not sure, even though I gather that certainly Civil War enactments and nice shiny missiles for North Korea are all part of Phil Lynas's wonderful oeuvre when it comes to battles and so on. But, I mean, Phil Lynas, are you familiar with the huge success of battle reenactment societies, certainly in Britain and indeed in America as well?
Well, of course in America. I mean, of course these Civil War reenactments. I'm curious as to what battles would be reenacted there.
Richard, the floor is yours.
Well, it's not a specific historical battle in Sunderland, because Sunderland does not go all the way back to the Norman times.
But it goes back 1,000 years, well, though. I mean, yeah. Bede and company, you know.
Yeah.
It's more than Middlesbrough ever does, basically, in terms of that. You know,
well,
it's not like America. I mean, it's like 600 years when people were setting up in Sunderland, the land of the sun. They shall have a fishy on a little dishy when the boat comes in. That's in South Shields. But, you know, this whole notion of things like that. So what would you be doing in a park in Sunderland on Saturday when you've done your work placement here at Siren Radio?
Well, I will be filming a documentary for my uni module about battle reenactments and why people choose to do it, and because it's a very tiring and expensive venture where you sort of camp out and live like a medieval person would. And why would you want to do that in the modern times when you've got a phone, a computer, and you have to give up all that for a weekend to wear some chainmail and fight?
Because Cambridge Analytics won't be able to get that data from you.
Exactly. So now you haven't really answered. I'm still curious, because what you're describing just makes it sound like less a battle recreation and more a Renaissance fair. are they specific battles from history, even if they're from other parts of Europe, that are being studied and recreated?
Yes. The group that do it, Historia Normannis, they're called, they recreate the battles in the Norman period, which is from 1066 to 1215. So they recreated Hastings. They've done the First Battle of Lincoln, and I think the Second Battle of Lincoln as well. They also do the sometimes the Crusade battles.
Well, that's interesting. And so then, I guess my follow-up would be, will you please then do a documentary actually explaining Renaissance fairs to me after you do the recreation battles? Because I have some of the same questions for people that participate in that.
Well, as you know, Phil, we like to flag you up as being our masterclass guru when it comes to directing things, be they documentaries or indeed short movies. About 24 hours ago, I actually sent you the official entry of Holly McGee and other Midweek Drivettes into this year's 48-hour film challenge. You probably haven't had a chance to watch it, but I will say Holly is going to be on the show next week, and she's very keen for you to actually give some feedback on what actually I have to say, apart from the ending, which I thought, I don't know, I might have had a different twist on the ending for that side of things, but other than that, really good little piece.
Is this one about how far you'd be willing to go for a fake ID?
No. But it's elements related to that. It's certainly part of that. I mean,
so when do I need to have watched that by?
168 hours from now, basically, Phil. So it's only about 4 minutes in length. You know, the short.
Okay, so
two things.
Mm-hmm. Two things. Since I am the expert on directing, I am the master class in directing. Let me explain two things. When you say 168 hours, that involves math. We didn't become movie directors in order to have to do math. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Secondly, you are right on top of demonstrating the appropriate way to be an assistant director, which is to send a message about it, then bring it up in conversation, and then keep bringing it up many times leading up to then, so that the director will finally get around to doing it in a timely fashion.
Exactly.
Yeah. It takes many people diligently reminding me so that I can be praised for being on time and on budget.
I am actually forwarding it again to yourself and to Richard and to Shaylee, so they'll all have the opportunity to click on this particular link and have a chance to actually watch it in full glorious Technicolor.
So, and this is from Sci-Fi? Is this from the
this,
Sci-Fi
This
London
is the entry. This is the Midweek Drive entry, or Midweek Drive-ette entry, or Midweek Drive-ette Harley McGee and Katie Amperville, the entry into this year's 48-hour film festival. It took place when Shaylee and myself were sorting out Beeswax the Hound and a number of other fine folk. Exactly. At the Countryside Link show.
Now, you've not been saying the words that I expect to hear. You didn't say winning entry, but it won, right? It was the grand prize winner?
The judging hasn't taken place as yet. You know, we've got to ease back on this.
If American politics has taught me anything over the last couple of years, it's that doesn't matter. You still introduce it as the grand prize winning entry. It's the biggest winner that there's ever been, even if the judging hasn't happened. In fact, we have a breakfast clubber who's running for neighborhood council, and my advice to him was all your advertising should say, I'm blank, I'm running unopposed. And even say that at the debate that he has with the four other contestants. He should still say, I'm running unopposed. And then that's what people will remember. So you are showing me the prize-winning entry for the 48.
Well, I've just sent it to yourself, to Shaylee, and to Richard Bellis. So there we are. So it could be sort of, I mean, it doesn't matter whether Richard, he won't be with us next week. He could email something. I still haven't watched Dunkirk,
Alex. It's going to take me a couple of weeks to watch
Dunkirk is 2.5 to 3 hours. This is literally about 4 or 5 minutes. You could actually do it now, between now and the end of the show. By the time we get to Phil's last two questions, you could probably have actually watched the movie. It's a 48-hour film.
I'm so impressed, Richard, that the Dunkirk came up and you didn't insult it immediately. So you only feel the need to insult Dunkirk when Richard Fitzwilliams is on the line?
We were talking about the original, which Alex likes.
The original is far superior.
Okay. Or you're referring to the recreation of Dunkirk that Richard will be documenting this weekend at a park.
This is Richard Bellis.
Don't discuss that one.
Exactly. And besides, it's a lot. It's 1,000 years before Dunkirk in terms of the battles we're talking about. There's medievalism and so on. Richard, what have been your most outrageous costumes you've had to wear when you've been a participant in these reenactments? Is it the chainmail? Is it the sort of World War One enactment? How far have you actually gone down the line of saying, this is what the troops are all about, this is what I must actually be wearing for true, in the words of Phil Learness, authentic recreation?
Yeah, well, I'm not the best build, so I'm not that strong.
Are we talking physical stuff?
Yeah, here? Yeah. So,
well, that's why you need to go up and down Steep Hill a few times.
Yeah.
So build those muscles.
I can't really wear the armor,
right?
But the chainmail I can wear for so
could
long.
You actually be one of the? I mean, a bit like Wart in the Sword and the Stone, the kind of, you know, the knights.
The sort of squire. Sort
yes.
Of, yeah, I suppose I could. I mean, you'd only have to put on some sort of, like, I guess, medieval tunic, and I can do that. That doesn't like have much strain on your body, but.
And that's one of the reasons why you don't have a chance to actually see movies or indeed all the TV shows we were actually talking about earlier in the production.
I was much surprised about that.
Well, you know, he has life. Shaylee, anything else you'd
you
like
say
to...
You're saying we don't have a life?
Shaylee,
well,
obviously,
this is not
I can only speak for myself
news.
In this particular area. but what would you like to ask Phil Learness now, Shaylee?
I would like to ask how Fuzz Aldrin is.
Or in
I would like to know where Fuzz Aldrin is, actually. I would like to know where... Fuzz did, by the way, hop up here on the phone and meow into the phone during one of Alex's monologues, and I was hoping that you would hear it, but I guess that didn't happen.
I'm in the moment.
She has had her moment here, but she's actually had visitors come over to see her, so she's off. You know, being cute and thrilling and delighting people, right now. So she's just an unbelievable source of joy and inspiration. Thank you for asking. Richard, does the Morning Edition audience get to hear me give a Fuzz Aldrin update? Skype.
I don't know why he's referring to me as Richard, or whether he actually thinks Richard Benson has taken over the show. I mean, that's twice he's done it now. I thought, do I correct him? You know, good. You know, maybe he's just short-term memory again.
There's so many
Richards. Of us are with it.
There's so many Richards. That's the thing. With Richard Fitzwilliams and with Richard today, I mean, I feel like if I just say Richard, I've got a 50-50 chance.
Somebody will answer, yeah.
Richard Fitzwilliams. Alex. Yes. We'll be talking about...
I'll just unnamed Shaylee McKenzie co-presenter.
There we go. Got it in one.
Am I on the morning edition?
We'd love you to be. We'd love you to be there. I'm not sure. I mean, I think Skype has been fixed, but if not, we've always got another alternative balance to work through. But in theory, seemed to work okay last night with Andrew David in Las Vegas.
Excellent.
But whether they connect via Skype, I don't know. Yeah, we just have to wait and see. The worst case scenario comes and it's not working again. We'll look to actually Skype you next week and make sure that we have somebody actually around who can press the appropriate buttons. But it should work in principle. We could try it now, I suppose, really. But no, perhaps not. It's the uncertainty. Because on the program tomorrow morning...
Oh, no, we don't rehearse. We do not rehearse.
Exactly.
If we start rehearsing now, after all these years, it would
lose the essence of...
The joie de vivre.
And authenticity that we actually like to put into the whole system. we do have Professor Martin Green, OBE, and Sylvie Silver talking about the annual Care Home Open Day. We've got IBS, discussed by Naomi Isted and Dr. Sean Preston, and the head of commercial banking at HSBC UK, Amanda Murphy, will be on the programme together with Richard Fitzwilliams, who'll be talking about A Quiet Place... and Wonderstruck. And from the department of, well, will I never learn in terms of predicting what Phil Innes is likely to like or not, given that he sees Star Trek The Undiscovered Country as a mystery movie.
Wow.
Let's go.
It is a mystery. There's Sherlock Holmes references, overt Sherlock Holmes references, when they're trying to... Okay, anyway.
It's a mystery how well it's done.
I would suggest if he gets around, and I said this to Tara Bennett early in the production, as I think you just confirm, and you can obviously listen back to the podcast as well, I don't think Phil Linus will like at all the latest HBO offering of Fahrenheit 451. I've seen the trailer, and I just think they've lost the plot. That Ray Bradbury classic that was done so superbly by François Truffaut, I think it's become an action movie a bit like Die Hard.
Ooh, yeah. That's good.
I mean, it may be just a very weak trailer, and I suspect Phil Linus might not necessarily have the HBO version of Fahrenheit 451. But in case you're wondering, Richard, that is the name given to the temperature, allegedly.
Of which books burn?
Exactly. Yeah. Have you read the book? That was too much
time
for.
It was
it,
yes.
It was, for a moment I thought, you haven't read the book, because as I said, I do believe Phil Linus actually worked with the awesome Ray Bradbury back in the day.
Yes, I'm not particularly keen even on the Truffaut version, but I don't think we need another one. I do think, you know, there are certain books that are best as books, especially a book about how important books are. I worked with Ray Bradbury, who was quite a wonderful gentleman, a true gentleman, and I don't imagine that they have this anymore at the University Research Library there at UCLA, but when I was there in school and working there, there was a room where you could rent typewriters to use, obviously.
Oh, my goodness.
Typewriters, we don't, and there was a plaque on the wall, and I know the plaque is still there, but the plaque on the wall said, this is the typewriter where that Ray Bradbury used to write Fahrenheit 451, because he wrote it on rental typewriter at UCLA.
Wow. I used to love that ding in the typewriter when you get to the end of a sentence. Ding. And you'd have to...
Shall we ask our wonderful soul here that we've been sharing our little moments with Alexa?
Not Alexa.
Not that I'm actually sort
She's
of saying
She's going to document all our thoughts and feelings, Alex.
I feel it's a case of welcoming her on board the show. Let's find out what she has to say about this. Alexa, tell us about Fahrenheit 451. I wonder if Fuzz will respond to this.
Fahrenheit 451 is a book by Ray Bradbury.
That's all you need.
That's all the knowledge.
And that, Phil, is what you call bringing artificial intelligence into the co-presentational role of the Midweek Drive. It's only a matter of time before we are all replaced. Oh, well. Richard, have you enjoyed your time on the Midweek Drive in Lincoln?
As always, yeah.
Good,
of course.
And, I mean, how does it compare with the Midweek Drive in Teesside?
Well, I'm obviously going to be a bit more biased and say Teesside's better because it's hometown.
Yeah, hometown.
But Lincoln, great place, great city.
Exactly, great people. Phil Leonis hasn't been to Teesside, he has been to Lincoln. He may return one day.
He definitely prefers Lincoln as well, Richard.
Well, he needs to get to Middlesbrough. He doesn't know what he's missing.
I mean, why? You know, truth is out there. Three ancient mysteries in Middlesbrough isn't already actually on the slate in terms of following through the Lily Holliman, Phil Leonis, Dean Haglund scenario. I really don't know.
Yeah, anyway,
shall we ask Richard to throw those last two questions at Phil Leonis, shall we? Well, would that be okay?
I think he's ready.
He's ready. Okay, Richard, go for it, please.
Be free.
So, Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
It was great fun.
And will you be coming back on the show next week?
Okay, you twisted my arm. Exactly. Sure, why not?
Next week, and that's Andre.
Actually, you know what? I lied. I won't be on next week. Ooh. Next week, I will not be on. I'll be in a board meeting. So next week, look at what I did. I'm
telling
a liar.
Untruths. So Phil Leonis, we'll have to wait yet more time until we find out what he actually made of McGee and Holly's midweek drive entry into the 48.
You might be able to ask me on the morning edition. You might be able to do that
in just
what, 12 hours from now, 12 and a half hours from now.
You know, this is the thing, because here we are in Lincoln, England, and it's 3 minutes to 7 o'clock. And, of course, in Los Angeles, it's 3 minutes to 11 a.m. in the morning. And an awesome day is going to be had across the airwaves as well. That's it. We're going out with When I Was Young by Mo. And then after that, a whole heap of good things, including Emily Jackson with Mood Sings, Throwback, and a whole heap of other goodies as the day proceeds. And then, as we mentioned, we'll be back tomorrow morning with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Shaylee, you back for tomorrow morning?
I will indeed.
I feel hopefully via Skype. Richard, we don't know, really. You might come along. It's just a difficult call.
He's a wanderer, Alex.
Yes.
A wanderer or a wanderer?
Both.
Right. Can we say be seeing you then? A one, a two, a three.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you then.
But honestly, it doesn't hurt me.